BlakeRadio.com.
It's time for the most knowledgeable and informative show based around the world of professional wrestling.
Thought we weren't supposed to use that word anymore.
OWW Radio, with your host, Mr. Personality, Alan Wojcik.
It's not my fault I happen to be charismatic.
Along with the loudmouth assassin, the Spud Guy.
I just act that way to get chicks, dumbass.
The resident Aussie, Mace.
I am not gonna lie to these people just because it makes them feel good.
Guest starring Kevin Scott as Jamal.
What it is, my nizzles, I got chili for shizzle!
What?
It's time for OWW Radio, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
For a few seconds, this place was Armageddon. There was a firefight!
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to another edition of Online World of Wrestling Radio, powered by the Wild Talk Radio Network, also our friends at UltimateSportsTalk.com. The numbers, as always, 267-297-1397. Or if you Skype, you can hit up Sir Rockin', all one word, no spaces. During the 10 o'clock hour, we'll get in all the fun that is WWE, TNA, the indie scene, some more arrests, some more mug shots. No, they're not mine or Spug or Mace's or Jamal's. Jamal's been a good boy. He's been ducking the rain and all the hurricanes and stuff are gone. However, made a lot of fun for college football, which I'm sure Spug will pontificate on in a few moments with our guest, who is not only a former FIP World Heavyweight Champion, not only is the former ROH World Heavyweight Champion, which I don't like saying because of the way he lost the championship, but he will be a part of Death Before Dishonor 9. Amazing. 9 years this event has gone on. This is going to be another iPay-per-view through GoFightLive.tv. Next week, his opponent, Eddie Edwards, will be here. However, this match, it's known as the Ringmaster Challenge. It's a 2 out of 3 falls match. First fall is pinfall only. Second fall is submission only. And if necessary, and if I know our guest pretty well, we won't get to a third fall. It is a 15-minute Ironman match. The Messiah of the Backbreaker has returned to Online World of Wrestling Radio. Roderick Strong is here. Thank you for taking time out of your schedule. Welcome back.
Hey, no problem, man. Thanks for having me. But first correction, it's the Ring of Honor World title, not the heavyweight title. So
I apologize.
Small note right there for you.
Weren't you the, didn't you hold the Ring of Honor, God, it wasn't the Honor Championship?
The Ring of Honor Tag Champ Championship?
I know you were a tag champ, but the
you may be thinking of the Pure Championship.
The Pure Championship.
No, that existed for a while.
Never.
Sorry. Forgive me.
That's all right. It's all right.
I do have to ask this because we were talking about it at the beginning before we went on the air. And you said you're making it cool again. You have this catchy nickname, the Messiah of the Backbreaker. And you do all of these wonderful, wonderful backbreakers. It's a move that is not used very often. And as I have been told many times in training, a backbreaker can be a setup move, but only Roderick Strong can make it a finisher.
That's right. But, I mean, most of the time, especially nowadays, I just use it to wear down my opponents. I mean, it's kind of something that a lot of people have scouted, but, I mean, I still like to pull them out every once in a while and show everybody I still got it. You know what I'm saying? And I do think it's something that, just in wrestling in general, has came back and has become more popular because I think people have realized that you can utilize, you know, the backbreaker for more than just an accessory move.
How early in your career, because people may not notice, but I've known you and your brother Cedric for years.
Is he still alive?
To you and IPW Hardcore and NWA Florida. Cedric, yeah, I believe he still works. I think he works for FUW in Largo and whatnot. But I know it was after the singles move that both of you made was the decision to do the Bagbreakers. Was that something that came through training sessions that you had with other folks? Was it from watching video of other people? Just clue the fans in on to what made this decision to use the Backbreaker as a serious lethal weapon, so to speak.
I mean, they've heard me say it before. I mean, it was something to separate me from the pack and, you know, stand out and attach to my personality and my aggressive style of wrestling. I feel it's a very aggressive maneuver, and if done right, very effective maneuver. So I thought it just felt, you know, it matched my style and what I was trying to get done in the ring perfectly. And, you know, through training, that's when I did modify, you know, a standard backbreaker into something different. And, you know, being able to hit it from every angle was very helpful.
I remember sitting at the Florida WrestlePlex with you and Bruce Antee and Rod Steele watching Japanese wrestling tapes, and remember just looking at all the three of you going, one of these three guys is going to go wrestle over there. And you've completed several tours now working over there for Pro Wrestling NOAH. Did you ever think when we were sitting there back in 2002 and 3 that you'd be looking at your resume going, okay, I've wrestled for NOAH. I've been all over. I've gone places that I may not have ever dreamed. Or was this always a plan of yours? Did you ever have a plan written out saying, by this point in my career, I want to work for Ring of Honor. I want to work for TNA or WWE or Japan.
You know, it was always goals more than anything. Just if I do achieve that, that'll be a huge, you know, success for me. And a small short story, I actually, before making it to Ring of Honor, was I made the only real goal, short-term goal I've ever probably made for myself when it comes to wrestling, because wrestling's a very tough business, and it's all about timing in professional wrestling in general, to, you know, create opportunities for yourself and to make it to the next level. I was saying, if I did not make it to Ring of Honor by the end of the year, that I was not going to wrestle anymore. And I was going to continue on with my education and just, you know, get out while the getting's good. And I was very blessed and lucky enough to receive an opportunity with Ring of Honor, which ended up being the best opportunity I've been given so far in my career. And it's really helped me bring my talents to everywhere, just not South Beach. So, you know, it's always been a goal, and it still seems like it's a dream every time I step off the plane at Narita Airport and realize that I'm getting ready to wrestle for one of the best companies in the whole entire world. It's pretty exciting and a huge thrill and honor.
Now, I don't want to pull the curtain back too far, and yes, I am still extremely green, but there have been times in practice when we are going through different spots and matches where some of the other trainees will complain that I am stiff. And my trainer will get in there and we'll go through the same spot. And he says, no, 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 it's just a strong style. Now, you, like Kenta Kobashi, Mike Awesome, Masato Tanaka, Samoa Joe, wrestle a very strong style. Could you explain to our audience the difference?
You know, I can't agree with you on that terminology, because I don't look at myself and my style or any of those guys and, you know, say it's a strong style. The strong style is supposed to be about fighting spirit and having heart and, you know, desire to keep fighting. And hitting an opponent hard, the name of the game is making people believe. And if people believe that I'm like that and people believe those guys are like that, then we've done our job. So, but the whole point is you have to, you know, hitting hard is only going to take you so far. It's once you learn how to be a performer and an entertainer that, you know, you've really done it. But I don't really think there is a thing called strong style, to be honest with you.
Would you consider yourself more snug than anything else? Because I've heard that phrase used about you at certain shows that, oh, Roderick Russell's really snug. You know, he's dangerous and certain stuff. And I'm like, he's not dangerous. I trust, if I was wrestling, if I'd never been in a ring before, I would trust you before some of the people I've seen in Florida and other parts of the country.
Yeah, people, you know, I'm realistic and I'm successful. So I'm sure people that say that about me are neither one of those. So it doesn't bother me too much.
You were recently a part of the National Geographic Channel documentary that followed Ring of Honor and other things. Did that raise any eyebrows in your mind or anyone in the locker room's mind of like, okay, where'd these National Geographic people come from? We're not a bird sanctuary or a Tibetan Buddhist monk society.
Not really. I mean, I spoke with them a little bit. They had called me prior to that and they, you know, just kind of explaining what they were trying to get across in that. And, you know, I don't know if it 100% really got across based off editing, but I mean, I thought it was a cool opportunity and the fact that people cared enough to, you know, kind of see what the grind was like and, you know, talk to us a little bit. I mean, there's a lot of stuff that they filmed that probably will never make it on air, but I mean, just trying to get to know all of us as individuals and, you know, things we've sacrificed and done to make it to where we have. So, I thought it was pretty cool.
Someone in our chat room, Jerseyker, wants to know, and I don't know why I'm asking this, who came up with the jester gimmick? Does that ring any bells for you?
It does. I was a 14-year-old kid, man. I came up with it. Of course. To me, I was entertained. I mean, when you're 14 years old and you have an opportunity to wrestle in front of somebody, you think anyone's going to take you seriously? No. But I thought it was a big joke. And what do jesters do? They joke.
Fair enough.
For fans, go ahead.
No, I could just sit here and listen to you chat. Like, I'm just soaking it in. I really am. I enjoy this sort of thing. I do.
Yeah, I wanted to bring this up because someone emailed me about it, and I had no idea that after all the years that he's been in the business, the Navy SEAL, if you live in the Tampa Bay area, Navy SEAL, Leroy Howard is a performer. It's gone on for years and years, had wars with Mike Sullivan, Cuban Assassin, is finally hanging them up. Did you hear about this, and do you have any memories of training with him that you would want to share?
I did hear about it, and I mean, a lot of good memories. He's a very knowledgeable guy, and I definitely learned a lot, like, in my younger years from him. I mean, he definitely had a drive. It was something that I really attached to, was the fact that, you know, when he trained people and he worked out, he just, you know, he trained his ass off, and it was very rare to see, like, in person, you know, someone actually pushing themselves. You just hear about guys, like, really training their ass off, and that's how they make it to the next level, and, you know, seeing that in person and see people not be able to succeed and not be able to finish what he was doing, like, really opened my eyes to, like, if I'm able to do this and I'm able to, you know, push myself like he did, you know, I'll be as successful as I want to be in this business. And, you know, I just learned a lot about having heart and sticking to it and just trying to be the best at what you do. I mean, he had a lot of influence on me. So it's, I'm glad to hear he's, you know, he's retiring because he wants to and not because he has to, so.
Yeah. Roderick Strong joining us here on Online World of Wrestling Radio, powered by the Wild Talk Radio Network. We're going to go a little out of order here. Go ahead.
I thought you were going to tell me to ask the question.
No, we'll save that for later.
Okay.
Jersey Girl in our chat room wants to know, if you could face anyone on the current WWE roster, who would it be, and would there be a gimmick match to it, or would you just want to have a straight-up one-on-one battle?
Tyson Kidd. It would be straight-up one-on-one. I mean, I think our styles would work well together, and I don't know, I just think it would be pretty interesting to go in there and tangle with him. He's a fantastic wrestler and athlete, so I think it would be good to test myself and to test him, too, so.
Didn't you take them on at MLW, Corp Bowers Promotion, when they were the
Standard
Bulldogs?
No, I did not.
Oh,
I wrestled
with
Jack Evans and
oh, okay.
Keith Wilson.
Now, we saw over the summer with WWE and CM Punk that they kind of revisited the Summer of Punk storyline from ROH back a few years ago. And some of the promos where Punk had made it quite apparent that he wanted to bring wrestling back to the forefront. If they had been able to kind of progress the storyline in a different direction and perhaps put a faction together of talented wrestlers, would that have been something that you would have been interested in doing?
Of course. I mean, who wouldn't be interested in taking those paychecks and being able to show millions and millions of people the craft you've been working on for years? Of course. Never turn down an opportunity like that.
Who would you want to be in there with you and Punk?
Oh, man, there's too many people. I don't want to have to... If it was up to me, it would be me and the Briscoe brothers, Eddie Edwards, the Kings of Wrestling. I mean, it would be a whole nother roster, so...
Yeah.
I mean, there's too many good guys out there that, you know, are with Ring of Honor, were with Ring of Honor, that, you know, are at the top of their game right now, so...
We asked this with when Chris Masters was on a couple weeks ago, and I know from being there in person, you've had several WWE situations. At one point, fans may remember you were a part of the Kurt Angle situation in WWE where he was putting his medal up in the Kurt Angle Invitational. Being that you are where you are right now in ROH and you have a great place in there, can you take fans and wrestlers that are indie stars through the tryout match situation with WWE? What's the do's and the don'ts?
The don'ts, don't try to show them, you know, don't try to do more than you can do. They've seen everything on the planet, so they want someone that's a performer, obviously. Just be good at your craft and, you know, anyone with some common sense and an understanding of wrestling in general will know what to do when they get in there. And shake everybody's hand.
We talked about that a couple weeks ago. When you heard about that with the Young Bucks, did you just think that's not them? Or did you think, yeah, that really is how they are?
No, man, they're buds of mine, dude. They're good people. They're just, you know, things are always taken out of context, you know, so. I wasn't there, so I can't really say anything about it. I don't think that's fair.
Is there one thing that when you get into the ring with somebody who is maybe a little bit green still, or you're in the back with some of the greener guys in a different independent promotion that just really irks you and annoys you?
Just people that get comfortable too fast. I mean, not like you should really be on the edge of your seat in this business because you're supposed to have fun, you know, but some people treat, you know, people they've never met like they're their best friend, and sometimes that's not... It doesn't go well with other people's personalities. So, I mean, other than that, and just, I mean, not enough people asking questions nowadays. I think that's missing. But there's also a lot of veteran leadership that's missing too on the independent scene. So, I mean, it's hard when there's no teachers out there anymore.
At one point, you were helping instruct folks at the IPW Hardcore dojo, if you want to call it that. Has that ever come up in your mind that you're sitting there going, you know, like you just said, ROH has a nice place, Marty and Dory Funk still have a place somewhere, Al Snow's teaching somewhere. Have you ever sat down and looked at Eric Stevens and said, you know what, dude, we got trained by some of the best in the business, maybe we should turn around and start helping kids out?
Well, I trained him, no one else trained him, but no, I mean, he's done with wrestling, and so now there's especially in this area, man, there's just too much, there's too many wrestlers, too many wannabe wrestlers. It's very tough. I mean, with FCW down there, it's where everyone wants to be. So I'm not going to waste my time.
when this ROH deal came through with Sinclair Media, before it all went down, we had Kerry Silken on, and we asked him the same question we've asked a lot of other folks. Was this the next logical step in ROH? For fans that aren't aware of it, you've been a part of this organization going on at least since 2004 is the first time I remember talking to you and saying, hey, I'm going up and doing some stuff with ROH. Did you ever think this was the next, this would ever happen, that you'd be on a major network that's going to be, and the show's going to be syndicated across the nation, as opposed to the HDNet thing where you had to have a certain cable company to get the show?
Well, it's what I wanted. I mean, obviously, I stuck around Ring of Honor for a reason, and I mean, that's all I've ever wanted for the company, is just an opportunity to show, to show everybody exactly what we're doing. I mean, there's a lot of creative people and a lot of very good athletes in Ring of Honor, and I think, you know, with the right coaching and enough exposure that, I mean, we're going to catch on, and I think people will be able to relate to a lot of what's going on. And I mean, I feel, and just like the Briscoes and, you know, guys that have been there for a long time, you know, that's why we've turned down other places to stay here and just, you know, build it from the ground up. And, you know, once this thing starts to roll, man, you're going to see a fantastic product and a lot of character development too. That's really going to be able to let people attach to us and, you know, treat us like real athletes and not like just, soap opera stars, you know?
And that starts on the 24th. You need
That's
to
right.
look on the ROH website.
I think it's my network TV if you're in Tampa, Florida. So
yep, Channel 6.
Yeah.
So it'll be fun. I don't have to go. It'll be fun. I don't have to go to the internet.
All the time. Exactly. And if you have to go to the internet, it's going to be free every week on the site, they said. So, I mean, people are going to have an opportunity to watch it either at their house, you know, on their television or on their computer screen. So a lot of those people sit in front of their computer screens anyway, so it gives them something to do.
This match that's coming up at Death Before Dishonor 9 is a rematch of sorts because, as I mentioned, I hate saying it, you're the former ROH champion. I'm not a big fan of that, but Manhattan Mayhem 4 was the night that Eddie Edwards took the championship from you, and then recently he lost it to Davey in one of the harder hitting matches you're ever going to see on an iPay-per-view. Has this been something since March that's been in your mind that one way or another, I'm going to get this guy back? And how did this match in particular come about? Was this something that either one of you lobbied to ROH to do this Ringmaster Challenge, or was this the brainchild of ROH and they approached you guys?
Oh, it was definitely their idea, but I think they came to us because they know, you know, what kind of athletes we are and that we train our ass off. I mean, of course, I'm eager, you know, at the opportunity to show everybody, you know, what kind of condition I'm in. I've been training my ass off and, you know, just for times like this. Just to be prepared, just to be the better man, always. So, I mean, I think this is it's a great challenge for me personally to test myself if all the work I've been doing is paying off. And the same with Eddie. I mean, Eddie's a fantastic competitor, but, I mean, he's not me. And I really think at the end of the day, there's no one training harder. So, I mean, you'll be able to see that at Death Before Dishonor.
Now, we can't let you go without asking this question, and we ask this of everybody. And so far, some of the answers that we've gotten were a story about a Japanese woman who bore a striking resemblance to Samoa Joe and drag, who tied up and whipped C.W. Anderson.
That came from Carino, by the way.
That came from Steve Carino. We had the story from Road Dog Jesse James about how Lex Luger and British
Lloyd.
Bulldog used to use this stuff that would make their muscles pop out, and he was highly allergic to it, and they continued to use it. And so one day he took the bottle while they were out in the ring, dumped half of it out, and pissed into the bottle, and they went around for 2 weeks spraying his piss on themselves. So I will ask you this. in your years in the business, what is the best rib that you have ever pulled or seen pulled or had pulled on you?
Oh, man. As funny as it sounds, I don't really... This is going to take some thinking. I mean...
Other than Ron Amy's luggage getting misplaced every magical time he was around us.
Yeah. I mean, I used to do a lot of that. I would... Any like building, especially in Detroit, they would have like angle iron, and it would have like wires, and I'd always hang like the young boys' luggage from it, you know, or set it up on the shelf so they couldn't find their stuff. But one time, I went to hide Eric Stevens' stuff, and he ended up, I can't remember if it was Sarah or one of the girls, like, saw me do it, but then she gave it back to Eric, but then we were getting ready to leave and Eric was acting like he couldn't find it, and I like felt terrible because I was like, oh shit, someone stole luggage. And she ended up giving it back to him, so she ribbed me. So unbelievable. But there's been a lot of stuff that's happened that's been crazy though. I mean, one of the funnier ones is we were in Europe and we had an off day, and when an off day comes, a lot of drinking happens, and it was me and the Briscoes. We're just getting totally, we're just getting our drink on like we do, and Jay ended up staying with Cabana, and he ended up taking a piss in Cabana's luggage in his suitcase. Ooh. All over his gear and everything. So the next day, Jay... as punishment, everyone took a piss on the socks that he wore in the ring, and he had to wrestle with piss-filled socks.
Wow.
Yeah. Hey, like a man, he did it, though. Like a man, no questions about it. He went out there, soggy feet and all. You could hear him walking into the ring, and he just went out and tore it up.
That's a vision I don't want, but thanks, Roderick.
That right there is the new number one.
That trumps Road Dogg. Okay, well, Road Dogg might be back by November, so we'll put Roderick Strong is now the leader in the best rib of wrestling. As mentioned, Ring of Honor returns to the Manhattan Center, 311 West 34th Street in the Grand Ballroom. It is a 7:30 bell time. You can go to ROHWrestling.com to buy tickets to this event. GoFightLive.tv has it on the iPay-per-view. Also come to their website. You can find out, as Roderick said, here in Tampa Bay, it's WTTA, which is Channel 6, or 1006 if you have the HD stuff. You're a social networker. Is it at Roderick Strong, all one word,
yep,
if they want to follow you on Twitter?
At Roderick Strong, yep. Follow me, tweet me, and I'll tweet you back if I think you're cool enough. And, you know, we have a lot of entertaining stuff going on down there, so, yeah, on Twitter.
All right, coming up after the break, we will give the whole rundown of Death Before Dishonor 9. We'll also talk some indie dates that are going on across the United States. All I Will Of Rest Radio, powered by the Wild Talk Radio Network. We'll be back.
The definitive professional wrestling-based website on the internet today brings you everything from everywhere. The WWE, TNA, Ring of Honor, the indie scene. All this and more can be found on one site. If you're obsessed with everything wrestling, head on over to www.onlineworldwrestling.com. News, views, and information from the world of professional wrestling is right at your fingertips, only a mouse click away, with every single page chock full of information and news on your favorite wrestling stars, such as
Chris Jericho,
Derek Bischoff,
Sid Vicious,
Mick Foley.
Plus, the most definitive source for all the best audio and video the internet has to offer. As well, news articles and blogs from some of the best-known internet wrestling columnists today, and the most in-depth and detailed profiles and galleries of the biggest and brightest stars of today.
Rob Van Dam.
Mr. Kennedy!
Christian Cage.
Barry. Janice Michelle.
Christy Hemme.
Jay Lethal.
Yesterday.
Bret the Hitman Hart.
The Sergeant Slaughter.
Ted DiBiase, the $1 million man.
Paul Hogan, the quickest of all time.
Jimmy Van the Boogie Wiggleman.
And tomorrow.
Keith Wilson, Natty Neidhart.
Harry Smith. Jack Evans.
Get into the world of wrestling online. It's the site of the pro juice. Online World of Wrestling. www.onlineworldofwrestling.com. Check it out today.
This Thursday night, join the Wild Talk Radio Network for a special live webcast. Former World Wrestling Federation superstar Razor Rick Titan joins Wild Talk Radio with a program called Superstar U. What is the definition of success? Be part of the special live program Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Mountain. Life changes us all, and it all happens only on www.wildtalkradio.com.
The following is the resume of Tim Stein, the inventor of the light bulb, the creator of the internet, a professional grass waterer, and, of course, the real voice of wrestling radio. While only some of these things are true, what really is true is that Wild Talk Radio Network is part of the social media revolution.
Holy crap, dude!
And you can be too. How do you ask? It's simple. All you have to do is like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Wild Talk Radio Network.
Aw, you guys doing that stupid Facebook stuff again?
And by following us on Twitter at twitter.com/wildtalkradio.
Kick ass, dude!
This is the way you can stay up to date on all things Wild Talk Radio. Do it today, or Tim Stein will chase you off your lawn.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is the Masterpiece, Chris Masters, and you're listening to Wild Talk Radio.
Focus, get up, don't get up, I'll never let up. Ferocious, I'm fed up, dismissing the competition. You're hopeless, I'll trash your ambition. Listen, you want a class on tradition? Or one condition, forget the best of the century. Talk about the best of all time, you better mention me. Essentially, I'm the best that's ever gonna be. I hold my...
Welcome back to Online World of Wrestling Radio, powered by the Wild Talk Radio Network, OldmanSportsTalk.com. Thanks to Roderick Strong. Don't forget, it is Death Before Dishonor 9. It is from the Manhattan Center on the 17th. As I mentioned, next week, his opponent in that Ringmaster Challenge, Eddie Edwards, the former ROH World Champion, will make his debut here on Online World of Wrestling Radio. And we possibly will be joined by Kari Silken. We're still working with Mr. Silken on his schedule. The 20th, it's the 20th, Jersey Girl, not tonight. Black Machismo will make his return. Jay Lethal will be here. Not sure if he's going to be in the house literally or if he's going to be in his house in the Tampa Bay area. The rest of this show is still being built, and unlike TNA's pay-per-view Sunday, which we'll talk about, there's more matches announced. We're going to have, as I'm not sure if this is the absolute main event of the show yet. We'll find out as we get closer, but Ladder War 3 will take place as our friends the All Night Express, Rhett Titus and Kenny King, will take on Mark and Jay Briscoe. The event is set because this is a contract to get a tag team championship shot at Glory by Honor 10. The tag team champions will be taking part in two special challenge matches this night. Shelton Benjamin will take on the Prodigy Mike Bennett with Brutal Bob, and Charlie Haas will take on Michael Elgin with Roderick Strong's manager Truth Martini involved there. A grudge match will take place between our guest on the 20th, Jay Lethal, and the Notorious 187 Homicide, as they'll take on Rhino and Tommaso Ciampi. I apologize if I mispronounced your name, sir. In a three-way elimination match, the Young Bucks will take on Future Shock and the Bravados, and one-on-one it will be Mr. Steve Corino with his advisor Jimmy Jacobs taking on El Generico.
Will we have Corino-san on sometime soon?
I'm working on Corino-san. He's a hard man to get in touch with now that I have to go through Jimmy Jacobs to do it. I mean, it's rough.
Oh, you don't have to go through Jimmy Jacobs to get him. We all know that.
Yeah. Some other events that are going to go on this Saturday is the Chris Cash Memorial Down with the Sickness 2011. That'll be taking on at the Asylum Arena, which is 7 Ritter Street in Philadelphia with a 7:30 bell time. Such stars as the ultra-violent underground champion of CZW, Masada, will take on the BJW Deathmatch heavyweight champion, Ryuto Ito, in a title-for-title match. Japan Samurai TV is going to be on hand to film this event. So if you want to be on Japanese TV, definitely be there in person. As a reward for taking out Sami Callihan last month, CZW owner DJ Hyde has granted BJ Whitmer a CZW world title shot against champion Devin Moore. You can go to CZW Wrestling, all one word, no spaces, to check that event out. You can get the tickets available through the CZW Pro Shop. This came across our desk from our friends in Nashville on October 1st. There will be a benefit show for the son of the Colorado Kid, Mike Rapata. Mike Jr. Was in a very bad car accident, and that will be taking place at the NWA Arena, which is 1056 Trinity Lane in Nashville. Several stars such as Steve-O, Matt Boyce, Shane Williams, LT Falk, Stylin Shane Eden, Jason James, Matt Rivera will be on that. It'll be 10 matches plus a 20-man battle royal. You can go to NWA Main Event or through NWAWrestling.com, and then you can hyperlink to the NWA Main Event site through that. You have an MCW event you wanted to mention, so go right ahead and do that, sir.
September 17th, Saturday, September 17th, September to remember, 1200 East State Street in Alliance, Ohio, doors open at 7, bells at 7:30. The innovator of violence, Tommy Dreamer, will be there. And also the return of the Ultraviolet Terminator Brain Damage. And there's a ladder match for the MCW Tag Team Champions, or Tag Team Championships, with the Broski Express taking on the Young Studs.
My executive producer has just walked in. Hi, Abby. Hi, Juliet. Isn't it your bedtime? Do you want to say hi to everybody? Hello? You want to say hi? Go ahead, say hi.
Hi.
Hi. I'm going to say goodnight. You miss Roderick. Goodnight. We'll see you later. Don't trip over Daddy's laptop cord as we go out. They're just coming back from a friend's visit. Juris Gore wanted us to let us know that the Wrestling with Autism event that we had mentioned was supposed to take place on August 27th, was moved to September 10th. Before we get into the TNA stuff and the WWE stuff, we talk indie wrestling on here a lot, and sometimes we get crap for it, but when, you hear of stuff like we're about to mention, it makes me scratch my head and just sit there and go, huh? This past weekend there was an event in Hawkesbury, Ontario, Canada that was billed as a Macho Man Randy Savage Memorial Show, and there was one here in Tampa that went horribly wrong a while back, and it looks like we've had that kind of situation again. This involved WWE Hall of Famer Greg the Hammer Valentine, who apparently no-showed this event. He was supposed to take on Lanny Poffo in the main event. This came from Kevin Ganley, who attended the event, so thanks for posting this on the OWW Genesis forum. According to the promoter of the event, Valentine was paid half up front in July. Then he called the Great North Wrestling organizers on or about the 31st of August and left a inebriated message saying that the money he agreed was not enough for him to come and he wouldn't come unless he got more money. He then called back the next day, apologized for the message, said he would still come as long as he got the other half of the money wired to him. He swore on a stack of Bibles, which is always a great thing in wrestling, kids, that he just really needed the money. So GNW took Greg Valentine at his word, wired him the money, and he no-showed the event. So never a fun thing to read stuff like that. I don't understand why people do that. I just don't understand it, Spud.
I don't either. I don't know. Unfortunately, it seems like it's a common occurrence with some top-level names. You know, you've heard stories in the past of Jake Roberts doing things like that.
Well, it wasn't like he was said to him, you know, but Greg Valentine didn't say, by the way, I want a hooker, an eight ball, and all this other stuff.
No,
that's Jake's thing.
No, but Jake has done stuff like that. Jake has called the day of the show and said, I'm not coming unless you wire me all my money now. You know, it's unfortunate. It really is. I don't know how. I mean, you don't defend that type of behavior. And to be quite honest, you know, if there's going to be a Randy Savage tribute show, then do it in Florida. Poffo better book the whole thing and make it an actual tribute show. You know, don't let all these little promotions across the globe have their own little Randy Savage tribute show and kind of book it haphazardly. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and as I said, it's a shame that something like this has gone on. Lanny's name also came up in the news because our friends, the Canadian website Slam Wrestling, did an interview with him. And one of the things that came up, we had Greg Oliver on a while back, and love to have Greg on again in the future. He asked Lanny if the late Randy Savage had ever talked to him about the Hall of Fame. This was Lanny's answer. Yes, we talked about it. As a matter of fact, what he was, remember when the Von Erichs got into the Hall of Fame? That was the first time he had mentioned it, and my father, Angelo, was still alive. We had celebrated his birthday, and at this point, my father was very coherent. He says, the Von Erichs are in the Hall of Fame. I'm not going in ever into the Hall of Fame unless it's the Poffos, Lanny, Randy, and Angelo. That's what he said. We didn't cremate it against his wishes, and we're not going to the Hall of Fame against his wishes either. I don't know whether I want to believe this or not. I want to take Mr. Poffo at his word, but Lanny Poffo, WWE Hall of Famer?
No. God, no.
Yeah, because if I remember right, the Von Erichs, it was Fritz that went in, David, Kevin and Kerry went, they didn't put Mike and Chris in. Because Mike and Chris, my 9-year-old has more ring experience, unfortunately, than Mike and Chris. And I'm sorry to speak ill will of the dead, but if you watch the Heroes of World Class DVD or the World Class DVD that WWE put out a few years ago, the folks on there will say it too. Chris and Mike never wanted to be in the ring, but this just, I'm sorry to speak ill will of the recently departed, and I'm sure Mr. Poffo may be listening to this, and I apologize for my view here, but this just, if Randy's to go in, I think he should go on his own. His father's already in what was the WCW Hall of Fame, but it just feels weird for me to hear this. But.
Well, did inductees into the WCW Hall of Fame get pulled into the WWE Hall of Fame?
We never got an answer to that. I remember joking with Scott Hudson about that, going, so did they move the Hall of Fame from Atlanta to wherever the heck the feds is? I don't know. There were rumors a while back when WCW actually existed that they were going to do a Hall of Fame, but never heard an end of that, just like we never heard a solidification on a physical WWE Hall of Fame. But as we found out recently when Harry Smith got released, his family had donated some stuff to the WWE archives and said, well, I want my stuff back. Well, it's going to a Hall of Fame, Harry, and we're going to build this thing. I don't care. I want it back. So I don't know if they were grandfathered from WCW over to the WWE, but it's just it's a weird thing.
If they were, then Angelo's already in. And I'm sorry to offend Mr. Poffo if I do, but to be quite honest, he was a decent manager and a decent wrestler, but he was never Hall of Fame worthy. I if you look at the Macho Man's career, okay, you can pick out multiple defining moments. The Superpowers Collide, the match with Steamboat, the match with Warrior, you know, the match with Ric Flair at WrestleMania 8? Yes. WrestleMania 8, where he broke his leg. You know, you can pick all of these defining moments out. You can't do that for Lanny Poffo. You know, And I feel bad saying that because he's a wonderful guy and he was a wonderful guest. Very genuine, very nice. You know, but Randy Savage is in a class all of his own. If he's going to go into the Hall of Fame, the only person that should go in with him is Miss Elizabeth. If he's gonna go in together with somebody, you know what I mean?
They're gonna slide Gorgeous George in there just to say, hey honey, you rode the coattails of the Macho Man.
Nope. There's only one person fitting enough to go in with him, and that is Elizabeth.
Yeah, just to transition real quick, if you are a fan of WSU, you need to go to WSUWrestling.com because their event, it's not even September, and their November 19th iPay-per-view is heating up like nobody's business. Breaking Barriers 2 is heating up big time. Both Serena and Lena have released videos talking about their match against each other. You can also go to DOIWrestling.com while it's still up and operational. Sean McCaffrey selling if you want to buy a website. I think they're at least 3 minutes long in video length, and definitely check that out. If you're new to our program, where the hell have you been for the last year and change? On the nights that Strikeforce and UFC hold events, usually, unless he's busy, Spug, Mace, and myself, if I'm allowed in, as long as there's no draws, host a podcast, a live event call from Tap Outs to Knockouts. This came through, I want to say this is legit, so I'm going to go with it. that former UFC heavyweight champion Brock Lesnar is going to be making his return.
It's legit.
Looks like it's December 30th. He's going to take on former Strikeforce champion Alistair Overeem.
Yes.
Who is going to be making...
By the way, I want to...
His debut and... Go ahead.
I want to take this opportunity to throw this back at Dana White's face. Because when the buyout happened, he said there would be no mixing of the cards, right?
I believe that's what he said.
You wouldn't see Strikeforce guys fighting UFC guys. And I sat here on this very program and said, give it 6 months, it'll happen.
Yep, and for fans that aren't aware, Overeem, is that how his name is pronounced? He has not lost a fight since 2007.
I think he just lost in the Grand Prix.
They said that he had to pull out of the Grand Prix due to injury. And everybody should know this is Brock's first fight since he lost the UFC Heavyweight Championship to Cain Velasquez. He was supposed to be at UFC 131 in June, but thanks to diverticulitis kicking his butt.
Literally
and figuratively, he is not, he's going to be ready for that event.
I'm wondering how he's going to fare in that, because that's Shields versus Ellenberger, that's the main event of that card. That's Battle on the Bayou, that's the one down in New Orleans.
You're fine.
I saw that news today and I got excited.
Yeah, not a problem. We cover all avenues here.
And by the way, I've written an email out to that email address about 4 times and deleted it because I'm nervous to send it.
Oh Lord.
I am.
Like I said, hit him on Twitter and just say to him, are you really sure this exists? Cause he won't swerve us. If you've been watching Spike TV, you've seen bumpers reminding you that this is going to be the final Ultimate Fighter on Spike TV as they're going to get moving over to Fox, which I believe did they announce a set date? Is that going to be sometime in November that their first primetime special is? Did we ever get 100% confirmation on that one?
Yeah, I think it's like November 12th.
All right, I read somewhere that the championship's going to be on the line, that Cain Velasquez is ready to go, he's going to defend.
Yeah, Cain Velasquez, it's November 12th, I do believe. Cain Velasquez is fighting, he's fighting Junior Dos Santos.
Okay, so Santos being the number one contender, now he gets a shot, because for a while there, someone had sent me an email going, dude, Brock's going to get his rematch, it's going to be on free TV, and I'm like, what? Really? That's a new one.
If that match were to happen, if Brock got his rematch November 12th, he'd get his ass kicked. He wouldn't be ready. There's no way. Absolutely no way.
As I said, I have a coworker right now where I'm working who's suffering from diverticulitis, and she had a horrible bout of it the other day to the point she was on the floor. We had to physically pick her up, put her in one of our a chair, get her to her car, and I'm just going, okay, this is a 100-some-odd-pound woman falling down like this. I can't imagine a 280-90-pound killing machine in Brock Lesnar having this hit him. I'm like, and he had, 12 feet or something taken out of his body? I'm, ugh. I feel for the man, and hopefully he's ready for this thing. Oh, it was a foot, but okay, I apologize. I'm over-dramatizing.
The large intestine's only 10 foot long.
Ah, okay. Yeah, before we get into...
Your small intestine is 22 to 24 foot long, and your large intestine is about 10 to 12 foot long. So...
And do I guess I can read that, Drew. As a girl, why not? WCW used to do it back in the day. If you're thinking of... going to another website right now to watch NXT, you don't need to. William Regal versus Darren Young has been announced as the main event of the show. AJ and Titus O'Neil defeated Maxine and Derek Bateman. Yoshitatsu defeats Tyson Kidd. Regal apparently got a good reaction from the crowd. William Regal won as JTG tried to interfere. So don't switch around. Don't move anywhere. Oh, that's harsh. Yeah, got an email about this. Some folks have been noticing that we talk on Twitter, we talk on Facebook a lot. Someone emailed me this. They asked me not to mention the name, so I'm not going to. It said that Kurt Angle recently tweeted about his dissatisfaction about being ranked in the WWE Top 50 DVD. This was a quote that Kurt had put on his Twitter. I've never been more insulted by WWE Top 50. Number 34 to me is a kick to the, well, you figure that out. Take me out of the ratings, please. You think fans will buy that crap? Shawn Michaels deserves number one. He's been putting on awesome matches for well over 20 years. I will not complain. It is what it is. It's a work, dude. I don't get it.
Can we not talk about Kurt Angle? Unless we're going to talk about his idiocy.
Well, this is part of his idiocy. I don't know if he was drunk when he sent this out.
Yeah.
All right. We'll mention Kurt. We'll talk Kurt on the other side of the break. He had a fun time in Virginia. Apparently too much fun. We'll talk about TNA Impact and their trip to Huntsville, Alabama. We'll talk WWE. We'll preview the No Surrender pay-per-view as best we can. Apparently WWE TNA site doesn't want to do it either. So we'll be right back after this from the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Quick message going to all the geeks out there. If you want to listen to three guys talk your language, tune in to Otaku Talk Live, Wednesday nights, 9 p.m. Eastern, right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. What? You expect me to be funny? We do that on the show! So tune in! Listen! I demand it.
In case you missed it, this is what happens when WTR roasts Tim Stein.
Tim Stein is also not Jewish. It's horrible to assume the man is Jewish just because his name is Stein. You know, maybe that isn't even his real name. It's probably Goldstein or Steinberg. You don't know. He'd tell you himself if he were here tonight. I'm told he's taking the day off for some holiday of his. I don't remember what it's called, but he pronounced it with a...
Tim really does work hard at making the WTR network what it is. Seriously, I'm not joking. Somebody pay this guy. He's like 65 years old. He needs retirement. He gets retirement. We get less Tim Stein. It's win-win, gang. Come on.
Happy birthday. You suck. You suck. You suck so bad. That's not true. You don't actually suck. You more or less blow. You've got a perfect face for gay porn, or at least a perfect mouth. That's what JJ tells me.
He's also not a pervert. The last couple of years, he had a wonderful and healthy relationship. He stayed with her every night, constant, wild sex. You know, it's sad when they had to break up, because he couldn't find the puncture repair kit. Don't get me wrong, they tried to patch things up, but Tim just couldn't bear the sight of her anymore. Not with a duct tape holding her neck closed.
Tune in to all the great programming on the Wild Talk Radio Network, as you never know what will happen next.
This is the Ultimate Warrior! I am taking time from my job delivery pizza for Papa John's to tell all the little model warriors out there to tune into this radio program from the 7th Moon of Raxor in the Gaxen Galaxy called WrestleTalk Radio. This show is on during the apex of the sun and the dark side of Saturn, otherwise known to the masses as Sunday night at 10 p.m. Eastern Time Zones. Or when the WWE or TNA pay-per-viewerships finish and the Warrior stands supreme over the fallen victims of X-Lax. So go, puny masses, and listen to the show, because the power of the Warrior commands you to do it. Now the Warrior needs to go and deliver this meat lover's pizza to the mortals that ordered it.
This Thursday night, join the Wild Talk Radio Network for a special live webcast. Former World Wrestling Federation superstar Razor Rick Titan joins Wild Talk Radio with a program called Superstar U. What is the definition of success? Be part of the special live program Thursday night, 9 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Mountain. Life changes us all, and it all happens only on www.wildtalkradio.com. You're a superstar.
Yeah, this is the Black Machismo for all you guys who out there thinking, who could this possibly be? Yes, the one and only. Yeah, man, this is on top, and this is the OWW. Yeah, one more time. Yeah, OWW, one more time. I'll say it again. It's the OWW, and this is the home of the Black Machismo. Oh, yeah!
Welcome back to Online World of Wrestling Radio, powered by the Wild Talk Radio Network, as my 9-year-old tries to have me help her with her homework. Yes, it's spelling time here for the folks at Mitty Pelock Elementary. Welcome to live radio, kids. This is what happens when you do live radio and not a podcast like some people think we are. We are powered by Online World of Wrestling Radio. We're powered by UltimateSportsTalk.com. Spug's having a great laugh right now, which is quite all right. No, I am not drunk, nor am I not close to drunk, nor am I anywhere near drunk as our friend Mr. Kurt Angle was. As I said, Kurt Angle had a lot of fun in Virginia, almost too much fun. It depends on what you believe and how you believe it. This comes from the state of Virginia, where TNA Wrestling held a live event. Kurt's been doing stuff. His lawyers have been saying stuff. The bottom line is that TMZ once again has gotten involved. That there are police documents that are coming along with all of this fun that Kurt Angle was saying that his blood alcohol level was way under the legal limit, since he was arrested for drunk driving this past weekend after a TNA house show. According to the certificate for blood alcohol analysis, I feel like I'm on frickin' Law and Order right now. Issued by the state of Virginia, shows that Mr. Angle's blood alcohol content was 0.06 at the time of his arrest. The legal limit in Virginia is 0.08. He said out this, this came from his lawyers, this came from him, saying, quote, "I did not believe my driving behavior was reckless or otherwise improper." He says, "I fully cooperate with the officer who clearly recognized me while performing his standard procedures. Subsequent to the stop, I was asked to submit to a breathalyzer test and passed. I do not believe that I have broken any laws and will be entering a plea of not guilty in response to any pending charges." Angle is saying that, "I was returning from an Impact Wrestling show in an unfamiliar place late at night and was trying to find the exit from my hotel. TMZ and other sites previously reported that Mr. Angle's car was pulled over, apparently after receiving a tip from another motorist who claimed Angle was driving erratically. So I pass this to you, Spug, and the listeners of Wild Talk Radio Network and All in World of Wrestling Radio. What the crap?
And I know we don't plug other shows, but I'm going to say this because this goes to my point. Last night, Mayhem had on Bischoff, as they do quite often. And so I called in with a rather what I thought was a good question, in that Matt Hardy got a DUI last weekend and was subsequently fired. Kurt Angle gets a DUI this weekend and is not fired. Now, Bischoff informed me that there was a rash of incidents and things backstage with Hardy that this was kind of the straw that was kind of the straw that broke the camel's back. I can understand that. But going back to his days in WWE, there is a history of alcohol and pill abuse. A documented history. So why, when for the last 4 years, this guy has averaged a DUI alcohol-related traffic incident a year, is
spousal abuse or domestic abuse?
Is, well, I'm just going off of the traffic incidents alone.
Okay.
Because of the DUI, why is he not sat the hell down and said, you know, perhaps Kurt, you may want to rethink your life.
And then some. Or at least have somebody drive you places, man. You're Kurt Angle. You should have a driver. Hell, if I was a main event performer in WWE or TNA, I'd be having somebody drive my ass everywhere, too. Come on, Big Show's got his own bus. Triple H, when he was working, had his own bus. Randy Orton, TV storyline or not, his own bus. You travel, I'm sure everyone that's listening to hear, if you're a wrestler, carpools are a common thing in this industry. I just don't understand it. We presented it as soon as it all went down. We went to our Facebook page, which is Online World of Wrestling -OWW Radio, and asked the same question. And then Phil Strum had chimed in saying the same thing. It's like, how many chances can this one man get? Is it because he's the heavyweight champ right now that we're not gonna, we're gonna turn our eye here?
I don't.
Because we had the stuff with Rocker Khan that went down, where he supposedly abused her. And
here's another thing that bugs me. Right? They had a rash of incidents with Matt Hardy. Okay.
A rash. It sounds horrible.
That's what. These are the words that
was the words that Eazy-E used. Okay.
Okay, and then you had the DUI, and so that led to his termination. Yet, your heavyweight champion at the time, and this had gone on for a year, and culminated in May with the main event to end all main events, with Jeff Hardy, and yet his rash of incidents were forgiven with a 2-month break, and then him being brought back.
Yep, he'll appear this Thursday on Impact at the end with a heartfelt speech, is what's been described as what he filmed at Von Braun Civic Center last Thursday. Or 2 Thursdays ago, I'm sorry.
I could give a shit less, to be quite honest with you. The double standard annoys me. I have absolutely no sympathy for drunk drivers. None. And here's why. I have seen classmates the high school that I graduated from averaged 6 to 10 deaths a year.
Holy.
In drunk driving. 6 to 10. Okay. I drunk drove once. I'm not sure how the hell I made it home. I'm really not. And my neighbor at the time was a police officer. And he worked night shift and saw me driving, swerving all over the road that leads to my house. And pulled me over right as I pulled into my driveway. And told me point blank, if you weren't my neighbor and I didn't know you, your ass would be in the back of my car right now.
Whoa.
And it was enough. It was enough that I went. Perhaps I need to rethink my, you know, rethink this. And haven't done it since.
I said to each their own, but the question still leads here, as you said, but we presented in our Facebook page. Phil Stroman chimed in, some fans had chimed in, giving their opinions. Mine is kind of along the way. I don't understand it. He's had the domestic issue with the former Rock-A-Con. He, you know, there's rumors of him and Karen having issues, and I said rumors, so don't start throwing stuff at me going, that's not true! Because she's busy now running a knockouts division, which we'll talk about in a minute or two. But I just, as you said, you know, they sent Matt home, they sent Jeffrey home. How many chances? Because it's one of these. They're a private company, so they're not going to put their stuff out there like WWE has with their wellness policy, which we've addressed several times on the show. I just don't understand how this man is still active on this roster. I would have a major problem if I were Dixie Carter, Jeff Jarrett, even Mr. and Mrs. Carter, who are, you know, still bankrolling this stuff. Jersey Girl in our chat room says she wants to see a drunk Kurt Angle take on a high Jeff Hardy. Ooh. That's a low blow if I ever heard one there. Speaking of low blows that were TNA Impact, yes, I made it through another edition. My DVR, however, didn't because I got cut off the last 4 minutes of Kurt Angle defeating Sting in the main event of this show. Your Bound for Glory series is set now that Crimson apparently has a hairline fracture. So he's been written off of TV again. So just to follow us along, kids, we've had Devon injured, Crimson injured, you know, Joe with minus 10. Helping out all these injuries, your final four people in the Bound for Glory series are Gunner, who was the last one to get in, defeating Rob Van Dam. Well, Jerry Lynn didn't exactly hurt matters either. You've got Tennessee Cowboy James Storm, his tag team partner in Beer Money Bobby Roode, and Bully Ray. Also on this show, as I mentioned, we'll talk about it in a second with Karen Angle and Tracy Brooks, the World X Division champion Brian Kendrick and Jesse Sorensen in a tag match, defeated Austin Aries and the notorious KID Kid Cash. In her first title defense, Winter was defeated by the former champion Mickie James. Brilliant booking.
Wait. Winter, hold on. Her very first title defense, she drops the title.
Yeah. Welcome to TNA Impact Wrestling, kids, where this is also the same promotion recently that your former world champion, Mr. Anderson, his first title defense, and drop the belt. So yes, Mickie James, once again, knockout champion. The Christopher Daniels fulfilled what he wanted to do. He defeated the phenomenal AJ Styles. However, in hearkening back to his way of treating the ROH Code of Honor, instead of shaking hands with AJ, he left and went home to party hardy. The thing that irked me the most on this show, and there was a lot, was this big teasing of Tracy Brooks gonna run the Knockouts division again. Yay! That was actually something fun to see, Tracy getting involved and bring all these Knockouts to the ring, and this is awesome, and we're leading on, and who better to handle the Knockouts division than Karen Jarrett? I would have put Jeff Jarrett's mom, Christine, or his grandmother, Christine, in charge of the Knockouts division instead of this. I get you want to have some shock value and you want to have some creativity in your storylines, but Karen Jarrett? I'm going to put Dixie Carter's infant child in charge of this thing, Spug.
I've given up on TNA.
Seems that TNA has given up, because as of this moment, going into this Sunday's event, there's only four announced matches. Your world champion, Kurt Angle, does not have an opponent, unless that's changed. Your Bound for Glory series, I'm not 100% sure how this is going to work, but Bobby Roode is going to take on Gunner. James Storm is going to take on Bully Ray. Bully Ray has 49. Roode and Gunner are tied at 42. Storm has 40. So I guess whoever is the last person standing with the points is going to be the winner and will face whomever the world champion is October 16th. So let's cross our fingers that it's not Bully Ray Kurt Angle. Because I don't know if I want to see that matchup. But when you first started this thing, I know you've given up on TNA, but before you totally give up, when you look at the list that was set for this thing, way back, it had Crimson, Bully Ray, Bobby Roode, Gunner, James Storm, RVD, D-Von, AJ Styles, Scott Steiner, The Pope, and Samoa Joe. Would you ever have imagined that this would be the final four? And this is no slight to James Storm and Bobby Roode. I love their work as a tag team. I wish they had gotten better singles pushes here. But Gunner and Bully Ray here too? Mm-hmm. No slight to Phil Shatter, the former NWA national champion who we addressed with Scrapper and Adam Pearce last week, but I joked around that this could be great. This could be a car wreck. And I hate that I almost feel like this is a car wreck.
Of course it's a car wreck.
I know. It's TNA as always. Jersey Girl wanted me to remind everybody that if you had not watched the Children of 9/11 doc last night that was on during Monday Night Raw, one of the young ladies who works for TNA Impact Wrestling, I believe her name is pronounced Taya Trinidad. I may have her name wrong. I believe she plays Rosita in Mexican America. She was a part of that documentary. So you can go to NBC.com and look that up.
Is that the one with the facial paralysis?
No. It's the shorter of the two.
Okay.
Yeah, her dad was in World Trade Center. She was 10 years old when it went down, and I don't want to bring this show on a downer. We'll save that to the end. So, as I was mentioning, this, speaking of downers, as I said, four matches are announced for this show as right now. As I said, Kurt Angle does not have an opponent for No Surrender, probably won't. So you've got Bobby Roode versus Gunner, James Storm versus Bully Ray. Matt Morgan is going to take on Samoa Joe as a result of what happened this past Thursday night on Impact Wrestling. And your World X Division champion, Brian Kendrick, will take on AA himself, Austin Aries, in a match that I definitely want to see, because I'm digging what Austin Aries is doing right now, and I hope this on paper comes out to be a good matchup. This Thursday on Impact, you're going to see D-Von and Pope D'Angelo De Niro take on the British Invasion. Your World TV Champion, yes, he really still exists. He's not fighting Scott Baio Eric Young's going to take on Robbie E. Winner and Angelina Love are going to take on Mickie James and Velvet Sky. Looks like this is a fatal four-way match with Gunner, Bully Ray, and Beer Money. And Mr. Anderson is going to take on Kurt Angle for the World Heavyweight Championship. If you want to see the spoilers of that, go to the Online World of Wrestling Genesis Forum or any other board that exists out there. I'm sure you can find them really quick and easy. The last note is that if you were expecting me to have said for No Surrender, Ric Flair versus Sting, no, Hulk Hogan saved this at the beginning of the show on Thursday by saying that Ric Flair versus Sting will take place on the September 15th TNA Impact Wrestling. So, yeah. Still don't know if I want to see this match because the last time I saw it at the last WCW Nitro, wasn't that great to begin with, and I know I'm not supposed to bury my peers and the legends of wrestling, but please don't do this match. I know Sorokin already won the pool, and he said, you know, it's a Bound for Glory. We're going to get Hulk Hogan versus Sting. Why, I have no idea. So I curse you, Sorokin, for making that prophecy happen. But if you want the lottery numbers, Sorokin has got them. I think he's also picked the World Series. I'm not 100% sure on that. We will move forward we don't get to talk SmackDown because, hey, it already happened. And they re-ran it on Friday. And if you somehow missed it, John Cena defeated Wade Barrett. I'll recap real fast. Sin Cara defeated Daniel Bryan. Beth Phoenix and Natty Neidhart defeated Alicia Fox and Kelly Kelly. Sheamus defeated the Great Khali by DQ. Randy Orton defeated Christian. Now, this is something that's interesting. This came across the wires, the news sites, and everything. Fans going, you know, tonight they're taping SmackDown, where I can't remember. I apologize. I'm at a blank spot for a moment there.
Somewhere in the Ohio area.
Oh, okay.
So Raw was in Columbus last night, so they're in the geographic vicinity of that.
They're usually a couple hundred miles apart, I think, so that way the guys can get from show to show now that we're doing the Super Show Raw.
You had to do that retarded voice?
Yes, it's in my contract. I must do it now. Oh, they're in Toledo. Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Like I said, geographic vicinity.
There you go. Some fans hit me up on the, at radioonlineworldofwrestling.com going, dude, why'd Sin Cara attack Daniel Bryan? Now stay with me. Cause we may need a flow chart here. The Sin Cara that competed on that live SmackDown was Hunico. He was not Mystico, who was originally cast under the Sin Cara mask. The rumor around the creative campfire is that at some point, if it's not the end of this year, we'll see at some point in 2012, we're going to have Sin Cara taking on Sin Cara. Sounds like something out of a comic book or an anime or something New Japan.
Or SummerSlam 91.
Yeah, very tall taker versus sort of tall taker. Brian Lee, love prime time Brian Lee, but he's never going to live that one down. I was like, met him once at a show, and I was like, dude, you're not 6'10". It's like, no kidding, genius. I was like, thank you.
Those were some big lifts in them boots. Speaking of Primetime Brian Lee and that match, have you ever watched that in recent memory and actually looked at the lifts in those boots so that they do stand high?
Yeah, but you're not supposed to notice that. The average fan's not going to go, wow, look at those heels he's got on there. They're beautiful.
No. But here's the thing. I wasn't watching it looking for it. I was watching the match, and I saw him standing there, and they do that wonderful kind of pan back shot, so you get, like, the full crowd. And I looked, and I'm like, those are awfully big boots. And then there's a shot where Taker gives him, the real Taker, gives Brian Lee some sort of clothesline or something, and he's laying there, and then the real Undertaker's laying there next to him, and you could just see the difference in the boots.
It was a different time. Definitely a different place. You can go to the history of WWE.com. I'm sure they've got links to the footage and you can check it out. Graham Coughlin's got stuff for everything. I'm sure it's on YouTube somewhere. But if you're creative, how do you justify this to your fans and going, all right, instead of Rey Mysterio versus Sin Cara, we're going to give you Sin Cara versus Sin Cara. If Rey doesn't get hurt, is this going on?
I think you have Hunico get unmasked.
Go ahead.
I think you have Hunico get unmasked, and you have Sin Cara versus Hunico.
Whatever works. Jersey Girl saying that she's reading some of the spoilers, and apparently Sin Cara spoke English in a promo this evening. So we'll definitely, I can't confirm that because I haven't seen the actual spoilers, and majority of this show were spoiler free. So, if we do get something on that, we'll definitely talk about it after we watch Friday Night SmackDown, and it's normal time, Friday, 8 p.m. on Sci-Fi, as opposed to them invading our time-space continuum, which apparently didn't help that much because they had a 2.1 rating from going live on the Tuesday night. So I'm not a big believer in the ratings, but when you see something like that, it makes you go, yeah, great idea. Their pay-per-view is in 2 weeks. And they have more matches announced than TNA Wrestling, and we'll run that in a moment. If you watched Monday Night Raw last night, you saw Kevin Nash get, quote-unquote, fired. Punk opened the show calling out Nash. Instead, he got your husband, who said that says Nash is lying, and apparently I never knew your husband was a member of the IMF, because now he's got the ability to get footage from the Staples Center and cameras that are like super top secret, and he's got footage of Nash texting himself. So Nash rides off for Johnny Laryngitis. Good for you. Your tag team champions, Air Boom, defeated Jinder Mahal and the Great Khali. We had Beth Phoenix, Jackie Fai's favorite wrestler, defeat Eve Torres to become the number one contender to Kelly Kelly, who was doing commentary with Natty Neidhart doing commentary. And I just want to call this one out here. Hey, Cole, a few months ago you were mocking her weight. Now you're her best bud. Nice work on the continuity there at WWE. This pay-per-view is getting interesting. Triple H came back out and announced to CM Punk that this pay-per-view match is now anything goes. So no DQ, no countout. And if CM Punk wins, Punk added this stipulation, Triple H must resign from his COO slot. So that'll make Night of Champions very interesting. We had a woot 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 sighting as David Otunga and Joe Henning.
You know it!
Yeah, I'm not calling them McGillicuddy's. Joe Henning, deal with it. Otunga and Henning last Monday night got into it with Jerry the King Lawler, so Jerry the King Lawler said, fine, we're gonna have a match. And that's right, the Long Island Ice Z himself, Zack Ryder, and Jerry Lawler defeated Otunga and Henning. And the dude had a vignette video to play before he came out. Oh, there's people that'll bash him and go, oh, he's horrible, he's this, that. The dude got himself over. The fans love him. I don't have a problem with him being on Monday Night Raw in a tag match like this. Monday Night Raw, as we said, is a super show now, so the stars of SmackDown also come over, and Heath Slater was a sacrificial lamb to World Heavyweight Champion Randy Orton. Over the evening, the World Heavyweight Champion, WWE Champion, I have to differentiate the championships. Alberto Del Rio was going around speaking to folks such as Christian, Jack Swagger, Wade Barrett, Dolph Ziggler. So when John Cena came out to do his show-ending promo, or at least you thought it was, Alberto Del Rio was joined by what he called the Rudos of Raw, which, you know, that neat little podium there next to Cole, it says Raw General Manager. They need to put, like, a help wanted sign or a vacancy sign or something because something's going on. Apparently Teddy Long from SmackDown can walk on the Monday Night Raw and book an 8-man tag match.
You know, it's the Mac Militant.
We love Teddy Long on this show.
I love Teddy Long. He's what, honestly, in the last 7-8 years, who has been a better, you know, kind of GM figure than Teddy Long?
He's been the longest running. I can say that, which is pretty cool. This was an 8-man tag match that featured John Morrison, Alex Riley, and Sheamus teaming up with John Cena to take on Christian, Jack Swagger, Wade Barrett, Dolph Ziggler. And who else would win an 8-man elimination match? But that's right, John Cena. Cena's sole survivor of this event, and not a shock to anybody. I believe Omega, I was talking to Omega with the rest of you last night. I said, Omega, I am stunned. Stunned and shocked that John Cena survived and was the sole survivor. And of course I got mocked and riddled for that. With this situation that's going on. Oh, I forgot to mention CM Punk defeated R-Truth.
With a great promo by R-Truth and The Miz.
Yes, who's guest spotting on the Mighty Mighty Boss Tones World Tour as we speak.
Forget the suit. Last night was the night of awful ties. Awful ties.
Yeah, where's Amy Weber when you need her? She was a fashion consultant at JBL back in the day. Can we get her a gig here?
Awful. I mean, just awful ties. Diagonal stripes don't go with plaid, especially in sky blue.
It's almost like you want Maurice to get out of bed from her hernia, which we hope she's feeling better, and say to him, Miz, what are you wearing, dude?
I know,
seriously,
man.
Bro. Seriously.
I had a manifestation. That's one of those things that happen after puberty, right?
Oh, God. I want to know just from...
My mama told me never to use those words. She's going to wash my mouth out with soap.
Now, we had talked about a couple weeks ago. We thought that these two were going to be good together. And for the second week in a row, they've been money on the mic. And I hope creative has found... I've found a niche for the two of them. Let them run with this for a while. I think it's a lot of fun. Gives them total free reign, and as they mentioned, they're gonna take on Air Boom at the pay-per-view. So Night of Champions is shaping up really well here. We're a couple weeks out from that event, and Nash has been quote-unquote fired. Do we hope this is the end of Nash, or is Johnny Ace gonna work his executive vice president of talent relations thing here and have a power struggle? What would you like to see happen? Do you want to see Nash near a ring at all, or is this okay?
I hope there isn't some stupid power struggle. I really hope not. That just, it dumbs down everything you've done with CM Punk.
Do we see Stephanie at Night of Champions? I know we're supposed to preview Night of Champions next week, but this is just something that's come up in conversations I've had the past week.
I think I think, quite honestly, you have... I think, quite honestly, you have Triple H lose that match by some interference from Stephanie, and have Stephanie be the one behind it all along.
Oh, so Steph is doing all the texting. Or maybe because, it's one of the Levesque kids, who knows?
No, listen, I'm being dead serious, listen.
Okay, go ahead, sir.
Because, remember, Steph is Daddy's girl. You know, Stephanie was Daddy's girl. And yet, they went and passed the company on to Triple H instead of her. And so there should, you know, a little bit of jealousy, even though they're husband and wife. And so she costs Triple H his COO title to claim what's rightfully hers.
Jackie Feist in her chat room is saying, "Dear Lord, no, Laurinaitis versus Triple H." Laugh out loud. I sure hope not. I'm not reaching here, but it's something that just popped into my head here. Shane's long gone from this organization right now.
Yes.
He works for some, I believe he's involved in a conglomerate in China or...
He owns it.
Yeah, but if Shane O'Mac is still in the family business, isn't this a ripe time for Shane O'Mac to get involved? Would have been good for him at this point? Because anytime somebody messes with the family, you know, Linda's not going to appear on TV. She's possibly getting another run going for office. Dear Lord, I hope not. We've written Vince off. None of the McMahon-Levesque kids are old enough to appear on TV yet, unless we're a soap opera and then we can time warp them up like they do on soaps. But this just feels like, I just feel this thing on the back of my head making my hair tingle, and I'm going, Shane O'Mac is gonna make an appearance somewhere soon, and it just feels right for it. I wish it would happen, but it's not gonna, I guess. That I don't want to see Steph on TV. She's been gone long enough, as we've talked about before, but this just feels ripe, like you said. This feels ripe for a Night of Champions appearance by Mrs. Levesque. And do you call her Stephanie McMahon Levesque, or do you call her Stephanie McMahon? That's the great question that I've
asked. You call her Stephanie McMahon.
Okay. Keep it off TV, which is really cool. Once again, we had a situation with CM Punk, Nash, Triple H on the mic. Did this feel better than it has in previous weeks? Is Nash finally getting the idea of, I need to riff, and I need to riff really quick because these two guys have been doing it a lot longer than I have? Or did this still feel like a really forced promo?
All of Kevin Nash's promos seem forced. All of them do. So, I don't know.
This is the event as it is laid out right now for Night of Champions, and we'll run the rest of the card when it gets locked into place next week. Your world champion, Randy Orton, will take on Mark Henry. Alberto Del Rio is going to take on John Cena. Dolph Ziggler possibly will have an opponent. Maybe Jack Swagger, maybe not. Your Intercontinental Champion, Cody Rhodes, may have a match, may not. As mentioned, Triple H versus CM Punk is on the show. It is an anything goes match. And as I mentioned, if Punk wins, Triple H must resign his COO status. The Divas champion, Kelly Kelly, who's recently becoming a tough girl, you know, good for her. Expand the character as opposed to being the token blonde, is gonna take on in a rematch from SummerSlam, the Glamazon Beth Phoenix. Air Boom will take on The Miz and R-Truth. Hopefully this is not a one-and-done situation. I'd like to see these guys move along. And as Jackie mentioned, save your money because you've got not one but two pay-per-views from WWE in October. Hell in a Cell is October 2nd, and then WWE Vengeance is October 23rd. And as we found out last night on Monday Night Raw, that I just lost my window. There it is. That tickets for Survivor Series, which is November 20th, Madison Square Garden, go on sale this Saturday. They're advertising it as it's The Rock's first appearance in 8 years, and there's one of the things I believe mentioned the words wrestle in them, competing in them. We've talked about this before with Mace, with Kevin Scott, with Phil Strum, but I'll bring it up again. Is this too soon? So Rock and saying that their stuff says returns to action. Okay, so return to action in what format here? And does he do another hosting thing in Survivor Series if you're booking this? Because you've still got to get him and Cena to WrestleMania in Miami, Spug. So put on your creative hat. I know we're a couple months out, but forecast for me, do you have The Rock appear on TV a few times between now and November 20th, or does he stay silent?
I don't think it really matters. I don't, because people are going to tune in. The Rock's going to be in Survivor Series. You got to watch. He could run out there naked and shove a hula hoop up his asshole, and people pay to see it.
Sounds like something you'd see on that America's Talent show that my wife watches.
I really don't like him. I don't.
Why? Expand on that if you can, please.
I was a fan for the longest time of The Rock, and over the past, I don't know, 3 to 4 years, from when he inducted his father and grandfather into the Hall of Fame up until now, a lot of what he's said and done is all placating a fan base and placating people who pay good hard-earned money to see him. And, you know, most of the time he has to do it via satellite or pre-tape and can't even have the common decency to show up. Look, you want to make movies and leave the wrestling business alone. It's quite it's that simple.
Yeah, it's an awkward situation. As you said, John Cena's been saying it for months. You know, are you here? Are you not here? Well, be here, don't be here. If you listen to this network, you know that we have a sister show, brother show, cousin show. I'm not really sure what the relations are. Wrestle Talk Radio appears this on Sunday nights, non-pay-per-view nights. They're 10 o'clock Eastern. The next two Sundays, the 11th, the 18th, they will be at 11 o'clock Eastern. They started a new great debate with how many matchups was this? 32? 64? How many? Of the greatest feuds of all time. This past Sunday, Kane versus the... Oh, it's 64. Thank you, Sorokin. Kane and The Undertaker... Kane versus The Undertaker is a feud. Defeated Triple H versus Shawn Michaels. And Sabu versus Taz is a feud. Defeated Mick Foley versus The Rock. Interesting. This Sunday will feature Shawn Michaels versus Chris Jericho as a feud, taking on Raven versus CM Punk as a feud, and a new
everybody knows their feuds.
Yeah, this one's gonna. Wow, you really doing this as a first round? The feud of Ric Flair versus Hulk Hogan will take on the feud of the Macho Man Randy Savage and the Ultimate Warrior as an opening round feud?
Mm-hmm.
Wow, you guys are really stacking them early here.
Have you seen the list?
I have it in an email that Sir Rockin sent me that just looked at this thing going...
Let me just give you a couple of some of the other feuds.
Go ahead.
Tully Blanchard versus Magnum T.A. Sting versus the Great Muta. Raven versus Tommy Dreamer. Tully Blanchard and Ronnie Garvin. WCW NWO. Ric Flair, Dusty Rhodes. Hogan and Macho Man. That's just some of the feuds.
And that's opening round matchups. Holy God.
Those aren't opening round. Those are just some
those
of the
feuds.
Gotcha. Those are just some of the feuds that are on our list.
Yeah, I believe you guys have Bruno Sammartino versus Larry Zbysko on there too. If you're talking old school feuds for some of the listeners that are going, you don't have anything pre Hogan. There it is.
Bruiser Brody Abdullah the Butcher.
There you go. Yeah, and I also just saw Northeast Wrestling, Michael Lombardi's promotion, I believe it's October 1st, is going to have, you want to talk a feud, they're going to have a no-holds-barred match as one of the three main events. We're in talks with Michael to get some folks on here from that event that they're going to have they're billing it as the last time ever, and judging the two gentlemen that are a part of the match, I tend to believe it. Terry Funk will take on Jerry the King Lawler. And these are two gentlemen that competed in an empty arena match in Memphis in 1982 and still have a grudge to this day. That just makes me go, wow. Especially since, didn't Terry Funk retire? This time?
I thought so.
Yeah, I just finished watching the Jim Cornette Timeline DVD for 1997, and that was one of the things in there was his retirement match against Bret Hart and Amarillo, and I was going, hey, look at that. He retired that time. So Rockin' just sent me something about, where'd it go? That, oh, this came across the wire from WrestlingClassics.com. Midget wrestler Shigeru Akabane passed away of a heart attack. If this name doesn't mean anything to you, the stage name of Little Tokyo may ring bells for you, as he was a part of WrestleMania 3 when he teamed with Lord Littlebrook and King Kong Bundy to face off against Hillbilly Jim, the Haiti Kid, and Little Beaver. So we extend our condolences to his family and friends. Never good to hear stuff about that. This is going to air, obviously, we're around some anniversaries, and somebody, I believe it was Homicide that put it on his Twitter, and I believe it was TJ Wilson, Tyson Kidd that did it, that it's amazing that 15 years ago today, after a fight that Mike Tyson competed in Las Vegas, the one Tupac Shakur was gunned down. And I just scratched my head going, 15 years ago, holy crap. That's just mind-boggling that 15 years ago all that went down. And there's people still to this day that'll come up to me and go, like, he ain't dead, man. I'm like, what are you talking about? They're like, he ain't dead. Dude's putting out records still. I was like, of course he is, because when the dude got out of jail after Death Row Records bailed him out, he went right to a recording studio and never left the damn thing. Of course, this Sunday is the 10th anniversary of probably the worst tragedy in my lifetime, and I just turned 37, hooray me. And that is the September 11th attacks in New York, Washington, and the one that was averted by the folks at Flight United 93. So take time. I know National Geographic Channel is having stuff on. PBS is having stuff on. NBC just did their Children of 9/11 special, so take a moment and remember those that lost friends and family. I lost my uncle Frank Palumbo of Brooklyn Firefighting Department there. So as we wrap up here, Sorokin would like me to let you know that tomorrow night, is there a an OTL with you, Mace, and Omega? And if so, preview it, please.
Your guess is as good as mine. I know there's a show. I just don't know what you're talking about. That's you cool. Always ask me this shit. I'm like, I don't know.
I don't know. So maybe they might have sent you an email going like, dude, we're going to talk about Nazis attacking Germans, attacking porn stars. Discuss. I don't know.
Do you realize that we don't plan this shit?
And that's what makes your show so damn great.
It's not that great.
Okay.
Four drunken midgets on a tilt-a-whirl would have a better show.
This Thursday night, 9 o'clock Eastern, 7 Pacific. You heard the commercial earlier. Tim Stein mentioned it. Razor Rick Titan, former WWE star, is going to be holding Superstar U. What is the definition of success? You can definitely check that out here. It's at 9 o'clock Eastern, 7 Mountain, if you live near Tim Stein. If you've been wondering, you know, you've heard us talk about, you know, the wireless thing, and, you know, you talk about all these websites I can listen to you on, but I want to listen to you on my phone when I'm out. You can go to wildtalkradio.mobapp.at, and you can download the app. I know Jackie Feist has it on her phone. There's also another wrestling promotion out there that's affiliated with Wild Talk Radio Network, and that is Canadian All Pro. They now have a website that is Canadian All Pro, all one word, no spaces, .com. You can sign up to be part of their forums, as well as join the Facebook group, which is Canadian All Pro Wrestling, where you can follow them on twitter.com/CanadianAllPro. And as Tim Stein wants me to mention again, that it is former WWE superstar Razor Rick Titan that is going to be a part of that educational event on Thursday night. As mentioned, this is the month of honor with Ring of Honor, and we thank them for allowing us to have Roderick Strong on tonight. Next Tuesday night, we're trying to map out the time with him right now. He's going through training as well. The former ROH World Champion, Eddie Edwards, will be on this show. We are in talks with Kerry Silken to be a part of this show next Tuesday as well. And he's back on the 20th. Jay Lethal will be here with us. Want to also mention Saturday night is the one and only CB Radio. Did the Godfather make it out of the Georgia Dome for that event, Rock? And you typed it to me real quick. Did he ever show up? He did make it. Okay. Because I was talking to Rock during watching the football on Saturday, and he's asking, the Georgia game in yet? He got there at 2 a.m. Oh, yeah. That's why CB Radio is midnight-ish on the Wild Talk Radio Network. And as I mentioned earlier, don't forget it, this Sunday, Russell Talk Radio is 11 p.m., not 10 p.m. If you come over at 10, you're going to be hearing nothing, because we're going to be watching TNA No Surrender together. So thanks to Spug for braving it out with us for the 2 hours here. Mace will be back next week. Jamal will possibly be back next week. On behalf of the Wild Talk Radio Network, UltimateSportsTalk.com, Jason Dedrich, Brad Dykens, thanks to Tim Stein, Sir Rockin, thanks to Pantera for doing the music. Roderick Strong was an awesome guest. Follow him at Roderick Strong. I'm Al Awojcik, and I may not be on 24 hours a day, but my show's way better than yours. And have a great night.
Wild Talk Radio.com.